Consider these words as you see them on the screen. So today we want to talk about the whisper-led life. How do we live our lives moment by moment, hearing God and following God? The first time I remember hearing the voice of God, I was about 10 or 12 years old and had been at the back of the house enduring a tirade by my dad, who was not a Christian, who was just insulting me, heaping verbal abuse upon me, saying, calling me names that I can't even say in worship, and just going off. And today, probably child services would have come just because of the tirade. And so being beat up, I left the back of the house, and I walked around the side of the house. And as I walked around the front of our house, I could show you the spot today, where something came to my mind that said, "You are not what your dad said. You are not what your dad said." And it wasn't just the voice of a frustrated, angry kid, you know, kind of just pushing back and anger, saying, "I'm not that." It was this quiet, peaceful, calm voice that resonated down deep in my soul and not just in my mind. And I remember that day vividly because it was the beginning point for God to send the trajectory of my life in a different direction. Because in some ways it gave me a true picture of what I was supposed to be in taking the shame away and replacing it with a confidence, because I knew it was God. Even at 10 or 12 years old, I knew it was God. I wasn't serving him, but I knew it was God. You see, God loves us so much, and the whole context of this whisper-led life is in the context of this love relationship where he wants to do in our lives, he wants to speak in our lives, he wants to guide our lives to experience the best. It's not that he's trying to, you know, order us around. He's trying to wrap our arms around us and help us to be free, to be all that we can be, and be guided to go the places he wants us to go. So we want to talk about the whisper-led life because that was the first of many. And as I've read the book by Bill Hybels, as I've gone through the small group material and listened to a lot of this, it just made me realize how often God has spoken, and you know, knowing that I'd been nudged, knowing that I'd heard things, but realizing just how many times, that it's not just once in a while, once a decade, it's constant, and recognizing that it really is God. So what is it that leads your life? As we saw the words up there, is it other people's expectations that has caused you to do the things that you do, continues to do the things that you do? Is it this need to acquire stuff in the world? Is that what leads your life? Is that what drives you, the stuff in this world? Or is it kind of you just on autopilot? You've lived long enough that you don't want to think about life. You just want to get through it. Or is it a to-do list? I know some of you like lists. I know some of you like lists so much that if you do something that wasn't on your list, you'll write it on the list so you can check it off. I know. See, I can by the smiles, I can see. Mm-hmm. What leads your life? Is it the whispers of God, or is it something else in this world? So for the next 4 weeks, that's what we're going to talk about. Now, audience participation time. What whisper really represents any time God speaks to us, nudges us, communicates with us, any kind of message from God. So audience participation time, what kind of forms does that come? What are some of the ways that God, we're calling it whispers, but it's really any message you get from God. See, this is when I...
Encouragement.
In what way? In what form? Okay, is it something inside of you just, you know, pointing you in a certain direction? Is that what you're talking about? Okay. Somebody else?
He'll put things in your path.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, so just circumstances there with a confidence that you're supposed to do something with this. Okay, good. What else?
Protection.
Okay, when you can see that he's been working and kept you from something. Yeah. Nancy? Okay. Facing a problem and it just comes. And you know you're not smart enough to figure that out on your own. You know it's God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Through the Bible, it's one of the primary ways that he speaks. And he does it, can do it as we're reading it or bringing it back to our minds, things that we've read in the Bible. What else? Okay, yeah, moments of calm, and it's that peace that transcends understanding. It shouldn't be calm, but that's God's presence. Lyric? Mm-hmm. Okay, so when you have a decision or something that's going on, and God sends somebody with the direction, with the wisdom, with the help, absolutely, he uses people. Anybody else? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. So there's just this impression, and it won't let go. It just won't let go. Good. Anybody else? Yeah. So when you walk alongside somebody and it's clear that God is working through that friendship, is that what you mean?
Well, lots of times you can
hear the whisper. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So sometimes the whisper is a thought that comes to your mind. It's very similar to when I was 10 or 12 years old, when a thought comes to your mind that you know is not intellectual. You know it is something more. It resonates somewhere deep within us. So let's talk about that. With that in mind, with an understanding that it's all in any of these things, in any context, any moment of our day, in any way, God wants to send us his messages. But again, they're in the context of relationship. They're in the context of how he wants to reach into our lives. Truths that guide us into this whisper-led life. The first truth is that whispers can be dramatic or simple. They can be dramatic or simple. Sometimes as we look in the Bible, we see these moments when it was a very dramatic moment that God spoke. And we can think, well, that's how God speaks. But other times we see in the Bible times when it was very quiet and it was just a very simple message. In Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 10, one of my favorite accounts in the Bible. It says, but Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters to the synagogue at Damascus, so that he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So here's Saul, who is a Pharisee. The persecution has started on the Christians. They were called the way, because they kept talking about how Jesus is the way. So they got that nickname. And now, Saul has stood at the edge of the crowd holding the coats of people who stoned Stephen, who was one of the early leaders of the church. And for some reason, he got this out of that. He came and probably trying to promote himself and make everybody see how zealous he was. He went to arrest people in Damascus, men or women, it didn't matter. And in arresting them, bring them back to Jerusalem for the possibility not only being in prison, but being killed. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And I'm just going to take a shot in the dark here that this wasn't a whisper. I'm pretty sure this was a shout. And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Because he didn't know who it was, but he knew that with a light shining around him, being knocked to his feet, whoever was behind this had to be God. And he said, "I am Jesus." Now that would be a shock, because he's trying to kill all of the followers of Jesus. And I got to think, in that moment, he's thinking, "Oh, I'm dead. He's here to kill me." Because I'm trying to kill his people, he's going to take me out. And oftentimes, we have that same attitude. God's got bad things in store for us. And Jesus had something really good in store for Paul. Saul, who became Paul. So he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, but rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were open, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Sometimes the message from God, we call it a whisper, but it's loud, it's dramatic, it's powerful. And so in this case, here's Saul, and Jesus has to knock him down onto his face, blind him, shout at him, get his attention. Now, just as an aside, we look at those big moments in the Bible and we think, man, if God would just do that in my life, I could be sure. You know, he does all these dramatic things, I could just be sure. Understand, it's not a compliment to be yelled at. If God has to yell at you and knock you down, it's because you have not been listening. It's because you are hard-headed. And he's tried to talk to you, but you're not paying attention. It's like when our son Chad was little, and he would be in the living room watching TV, and his mom would come in, and she would say, "Chad, get up." He's 5, 6 years old. "Chad, get up. Go clean up your room." And she would leave the room, and he would just sit there. A few minutes later, Sheila would come again and say, "Chad, I told you to go clean up your room." And he would look at her, and she would say, "Go now, turn off the TV, and go clean up your room." And so she would leave the room with the assumption that he had now gotten the message, because her voice had become louder and she'd become more direct. She'd come in a few minutes later, and Chad's still sitting there watching TV, and now her voice gets even louder, points at him and says, "If you don't," and she gives him some kind of threat, like sending them to Madagascar or something. "Get up and go." And finally he went up and go. You see, it wasn't a compliment that he had to be shouted at. And I asked him one time, I said, "Chad, why do you wait 3 times? I mean, really?" And he said to me, 5 years old, "Mom's not really serious until she says it the 3rd time. Kids know. It's not a compliment. So what we want to do is hear the whisper, because that's the compliment. Because notice what happens with him shouting. Saul has to experience suffering to get his attention. So he goes blind. And he's in the city. Now on the flip side of that, verse 10, it says, "Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias?' And he said, 'Here I am, Lord.'" You see, for Saul, it was dramatic. For Ananias, it was very simple. And Ananias could hear and recognize God's voice, God's faintest whisper, because he was in this habit of recognizing the voice. He knew the voice of his Lord. He recognized it right away because he'd heard it many, many times. And so God's messages can come loud and strong and dramatic, or they can be very simple. So as you think over your life and the messages that you've got from God, have there been times when God had to be very dramatic with you? And have there been times when he could just whisper and get your attention? Which is more fun? We need to learn to listen. So it can just be the simple listening of, A God who loves us, our heavenly daddy, can guide us in his love. Number two, heeding whispers opens doors for others. Heeding whispers opens up doors for others. I've said it all a lot of times, and I'll continue to say it. Situations are not just about us. Life's not just about us. And we don't know what's going to happen when we heed God's whispers. Think of the impact back when I'm 10 or 12 years old, and I hear God's voice, and he says, "You're not like your dad says you are." And it sent me on that trajectory of hearing him, and then the whisper came that I really needed to give my life to him, and then the whisper came that I needed to go be a pastor, and the whisper came that I needed to go to Bible college, and then the whisper came to come to Pennsylvania. And the churches that I pastor, the people that have come to know the Lord, the kids in youth camp, think about all of the implications and the doors that have been opened for other people just because he whispered to me. Now, I'm not saying, look at me, applaud me. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying for every one of us, as we listen to the whispers, it also impacts other people. Acts chapter 9, verse 10 again. There was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying." And again, he's praying because he's desperate. When God has to take us to the desperate places, it's because we're not listening to the quiet whispers. You've seen a vision He's praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. Now, this is Saul is coming to get people just like Ananias. And there's a possibility that some of Ananias' family or friends or fellow Christians have been hauled off by Saul previously. And so this is a dangerous assignment. And God has already given Saul a vision that a man named Ananias is coming. He didn't ask Ananias' permission. He just assumed that Ananias is going to go. Why? Because he knows Ananias will listen to the whisper. That's a compliment. But Ananias is shocked by all of this because he can't imagine going to the man who wants to kill him. And he answered, "Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here, he's authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name." So he's going, "God, I'm not sure if you know this. Have you ever talked to God that way? I don't know if, yeah, let me just give you some information here, God." And God is just, he's gentle with him. He knows all the stuff that's going on in Ananias. And so he says, "Go. For he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." Hard whisper to hear, hard whisper to obey, because Ananias is not given an indication of what the results are going to be. He doesn't know if he will go to Saul and he will be arrested by somebody that's traveling with Saul. He doesn't know. But what he does know is when God whispers, it's because he's a loving Heavenly Father and he has good in mind, but it's good for people beyond us. Sometimes we have to sacrifice to do hard things so that other people can benefit and have doors open for them. So Ananias departed, entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "What a step of faith, brother Saul." He believes God. He knows that he's coming to the Lord. "The Lord who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus. Can you imagine getting a whisper like that? That's a hard one. But because he obeyed, it opened the door for Saul. And Saul, as a result, came to know Jesus. Saul became the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul ended up writing half the New Testament that we have, all because Ananias listened to the whisper. And so sometimes it's not about us. It's about God using us to open up doors for other people. Number three, the third truth is that we never know the results of heeding whispers. We have no idea, and we won't know until heaven. When we heed the whispers, when we follow the way that God wants us to go. Friday is another movie night here at New Song, and the movie that we're going to show is called What If? And it fits right in with this idea of the whispers, because it's a story about a man who was told to follow God, and he didn't. And then through a vision or in some way, he is taken back to see what life would have been like. What if you had followed me? Here's what would have happened. And it's a great, great lesson about making sure that we're listening to the whispers of God and following him in the way that he wants us to go. We never know what might happen in people's lives, what might happen in the kingdom. So here's Ananias doesn't know what's going to happen, but Saul becomes Paul and ends up with and when we get to heaven, it'll take us thousands of years just to get a glimpse of the impact Paul has had. Because it goes down through generation after generation. Everybody that reads the New Testament is impacted by it. And on every Sunday, there are people that are standing in front of other groups of people or sitting in a Sunday school class talking about the words that the Holy Spirit wrote through Saul. And I got to believe that Ananias, if he lived for any length of time and he was around and he heard that Saul had become Paul and now he was going city to city and he was going to this city and there was a people coming to know Christ and being healed and miracles happening and that city and that city. And the word gets back to Ananias and he would get tears in his eyes thinking, God, thank you that I listened to your whisper and you gave me the privilege of being used to reach into his life. What an honor. You see, oftentimes we look at God's whispers as not punishment, but as something hard to do, something almost we have to do because we don't think it's whisper is a privilege. When God is coming to us telling us something, he has good things for us. And it's not just about us, it's about the other people that God wants to use. And we have no idea the impact that it will have. We have no idea. Let me show you a clip. Bill Hybels talks about how God first whispered to him just a very ordinary person that God used in his life to set the trajectory for him.
The very first acknowledgement in this book goes to my second grade teacher, whose name is Miss Van Solen. And she's the one who taught a Bible story when I was in second grade about Samuel, the young boy who heard voices in the middle of the night. And he would get out of bed and go to Eli and say, "So what do you want?" And Eli would say, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." And this happened three times. And finally, Eli said to Samuel, "Next time you hear a voice, why don't you say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel goes back to bed. He hears a voice and he says, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And God actually speaks to this young boy and he gives him a message that he's supposed to tell Eli the next day. And Samuel, in fact, tells Eli the whole message the next day. So my second grade teacher is reading this story to the class. The recess bell rings and everybody runs out. And I'm transfixed in my chair. And I was always the first kid out to recess, organizing the athletics. And so I was glued to the chair because of the nature of that story of God speaking to somebody. Very timidly, I walked to the front of the class and I said, "Miss Van Solen, does God still speak today?" And she was caught a little off guard and she said, "What?" And I said, "In the story, God spoke to a young boy. Do you think that God still speaks to young boys today?" And she said, "Well, why do you ask?" And I said, "Because I think it'd be about the coolest thing in the world if God were to still speak, you know, to people and to young boys today." And she said, "Well, I absolutely think he does." And she reached in the top drawer of her desk and she gave me a poem. And she said, "Maybe you would enjoy this poem. Take it with you when you go home tonight." And I did. Later on that night, before I went to bed, I read the poem, and I liked it so much that I read it several times and then committed it to memory. Next day, I go to school, and I'm about ready to go out for recess, and my teacher stops me, and she said, "Did you read that poem?" And I said, "In fact, I did. I actually memorized it." And I thought she was going to faint. And she said, "If you memorized it, why don't you say it to me?" I said, "Okay, I can say it. Oh, give me Samuel's ear, an open ear, O Lord, alive and quick to hear each whisper of thy word, like him to answer to thy call and to obey thee first of all." I thought she was going to pass out. I mean, the look on her face, a second grader, you know, not just reading a poem, but memorizing one that she had given to me. She put her hands on my shoulders and she said, "Bill Hybels, if you listen for the voice of God and obey it, I think God's going to have an anointed plan and he's going to put power on your life." And I remember thinking, well, whatever. But I ran out to recess and that was that. But I've probably repeated that poem in my head tens of thousands of times. Still in there right now. You could poke me in the middle of the night. I could say that poem. So a few weeks ago when I was just finishing the book, The Power of a Whisper, someone walked into my office and they had kind of a promotional copy of it. Not the real thing, but just a promotional copy of it. And I looked at it for the first time and I thought, wow, this all goes back to my second grade teacher. Just then my assistant, Jean, came into my office with an email and she said, "You better sit down, Bill. I got bad news." And I sat down and she said, "Your second grade teacher just died." So I was holding the book, The Power of the Whisper, Power of a Whisper, and the email about Miss Van Solen's death. And I thought, too strange, really, gotta be kidding me. And I was filled with appointments that day and the next day, and I got a whisper from God that the right thing to do would be to fly to the city where her funeral service was being held and to attend her funeral. So I thought about it and I prayed about it. I said, this is the right thing to do. So I canceled all my appointments. I chartered an aircraft and flew to this little city. And stood by her casket and remembered what a second grade teacher did to just a young guy. You know, 15 minutes after a class, and she gives me a poem. And she tells me that God still speaks and that maybe my life could be anointed if I would listen for whispers. So that day, standing by her casket, I thought, yeah, that little poem and that concept of whispers changed the whole course of my life. And I have a real debt to pay to that woman. I did so, you know, standing there at her casket. But driving away from that funeral kind of rededicated myself to the concept that I want to live with one ear open to heaven every day. And when I hear God speak, I want to figure out if it's really God and if it's really what he would want me to do. And if it is, I want to be able to pay the price. I want to, you know, follow through with it regardless of the cost. And I want the rest of my life to be about that adventure, just a whisper-led, God-guided adventure. And I don't know where it's going to go, but, you know, I want to be on that kind of path. Part of the reason I'm so passionate about this curriculum that you're all going through is because each of you might have kind of a Miss Van Solen moment, where undeniably and unmistakably God speaks to you. And you realize he has spoken and I need to bet the farm. I need to do something. I need to follow his bidding. And as you join into that kind of life, I mean, this is going to be quite an adventure for you. and I wish you well on this adventure. The very first acknowledgement.
I believe when we get to heaven that we will discover that the pastor of our generation that made the greatest impact is Bill Hybels. Because not only does he pastor a dynamic church in Chicago, he's written innumerable books, but in addition to that, he founded a leadership summit that has impacted hundreds of thousands of pastors and leaders for the last 15 to 20 years. And it all started with second grade teacher. You see, we have no idea the power of those whispers. We have no idea what might happen with these little guys who never get happy enough to dance. If we follow the whisper and we speak into their life and say things and do things, we have no idea. But it will impact heaven. The fourth truth, very quickly, is that God provides filters to affirm those whispers. So over the course of these weeks, we want to learn how to tell, not only to hear God's voice, but to make sure that it really is God's voice. Now, in some of these past studies, all church emphasis, one of the things I've heard is that a little frustration is that we read the book, and then we go to the small group, and we hear the same thing that was in the book, and then we come to the Sunday message, and we hear the same thing that was there, and I understand some of that. I think this one's better, but there are some repeating things. And so if you're one of those people that's frustrated because you've read the book and you heard about these five filters and you went to the small group and you heard about the five filters, and I'm going to challenge you to see if you can tell me what they are. Because it's one thing to hear the same thing over and over again, but sometimes that's the way that we learn. So filter number one is what? Aha! It's the prayer filter. It's when we think we're hearing a whisper from God, it's to pray directly to God. Say, Lord, is this prompting from you? Just asking for confirmation. And rather than just, you know, going off on our own because this thought came to mind, is saying, God, is this? And asking him to confirm it. And he will. The second filter. Anybody know? Scripture. Good. Is it scriptural? As we send it through the filter of the Bible, it's not that every whisper will have a specific scripture that will tell us whether it's true or not, but rather it's the principles of scripture. Is this does this align, or does it go against scripture, or does this align with the principles of scripture? The third filter, if we're trying to figure out if a whisper is really from God, is wisdom. It's the wisdom filter. Is it wise? And this is where Bill Hybels talks about, in Proverbs, this whole book of wise sayings. And so, is it wise? Meaning, is it the way that we sense God's wisdom would go? Does it make human sense, but does it make biblical sense? Because biblical wisdom sometimes asks us to do things that in a human sense may not seem very wise. When I sensed that God was sending us to the South Hills of Pittsburgh, there were people in my life who were saying, you're nuts. This is not a good idea. Sheila's family was ready to send me away to some place where I could get counseling because they're thinking I'm taking their daughter and their siblings to a place where they were all going to die from starvation. Because it didn't make sense. But it was the way God often works. It is biblically wise. Filter number four.
Wired.
Yep, the wiring filter. Is it in tune with your character? And Russ and Susan are going to teach a class here in a little bit that's called Discovering Your Shape. It's the same thing. Does it fit with who you are? How God has given you spiritual gifts, what heart he's given to you, what abilities he's given to you, what personality, what experiences. In the book, Bill Hybels talks about an encounter that I found interesting. He says, One weekend following a service at Willow Creek, I spoke with a man who said he had been so moved by a particular music number during the service that he was contemplating quitting his job as a successful stockbroker and going full bore into a Christian music industry. I really feel like that's what God wants me to do. Now, is it possible God would do that? Ask somebody to leave their full-time job to go into Christian music. Absolutely. I just can't shake the sense that this is my new calling in life. So Bill says, I waited until he finished his determined explanation of this new career and then threw a few softball questions his way. Do you have any musical training? After some hemming and hawing, the answer, it turns out, was no. What about any experience in singing or songwriting? I mean, was there ever a time in your youth when you were drawn toward the arts? Again, no. Do you sing in the shower at all? And a third time, no. I looked at the stockbroker and said, I'm not trying to burst your God-ordained bubble here, but is it possible that you were simply moved by a powerful song, that maybe God just wants you to reflect on that wonderful experience without spending your entire world in order, upending your entire world in order to pursue a new vocation? You see, it's that this filter of, is it in tune with your own character? Now, the next step would be for him to say, okay, if you really believe you still want to go this direction, join the choir and see if that works. Check to make sure, because there's some things that just aren't in our wiring. I am never going to be an NBA basketball player. No matter how much I want and no matter how many whispers I hear that I'm supposed to quit being a pastor and I'm supposed to go try out at some NBA basketball camp. Not going to happen. Number five, what's the fifth filter? Godly counsel. The godly counsel filter. What do the godly people I most trust tell me? The people I most trust. Notice the characteristics. They are godly. So they have shown by the evidence of their life that they are in line with God, in tune with God, and you trust them. And so the counsel of the wise. In 1 John chapter 4, the message says, don't believe everything you hear. Carefully weigh and examine what people tell you. Not everyone who talks about God comes from God. There are a lot of lying preachers loose in the world. So it's not just one of the filters, it's all five. And I think the best thing about this whole all-church emphasis is this test. Because it helps us to understand what things might be. And it's not that, sometimes it's just a step back and make sure that it's there. So what do we do with this? Here's the challenge. The challenge to live with what Bill Hybels call as the higher goal. What if instead of our goal being about our career or our number one goal being about our career or our children or something else in our life, what if, Bill Hybels says, our number one goal is that we would strive never to ever for the rest of our lives miss a whisper from God. And that's the challenge. I think that is what the Bible talks about in keeping in step with the Spirit, living in step, living in tune, walking in step with God, and if we will do that. So that's my challenge to us this week. Make it your number one goal to see God, listen to God, and never miss another whisper. Not just hear it, but follow it and obey it as he leads. Would you bow your heads with me? If that's your desire, would you just, in the quietness right now, say to God, God, I'm making it my number one goal to never, ever miss a whisper from you. I surrender myself to you. Teach me to hear. Teach me to recognize your voice. And give me the guts to obey what you tell me. Lord, I pray for all of us as a church family as we go through these weeks that you would make it a powerful, dynamic time that would put us more and more in tune with you, more and more at your service, used more and more for your purposes. as we give ourselves to you. Lord, we love you. Thank you for what you've done in the past. Thank you for the ministry of Bill Hybels and what the blessing that he has already been. Help us to embrace, help us to fight the enemy as he tries to distract us. Make this a powerful time as we give ourselves to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.